off to a good start by knocking this off my belt. But when I started to think about what I was going to talk about tonight, I started to do a lesson on one another verses that we find in the Bible, in the New Testament. And if you weren't here last week, or if you were here last week, you know where that idea may have came from. If you weren't here last week, go to our website and listen to the evening sermon that was given. Anyway, but I didn't go with that. Instead, I went with an inspiration from Facebook. Okay, and I was going to put the slide up there, but the guy deleted his post. So I'm going to draw the inspiration, and it's going to be a horrible drawing because I can't draw. Coffee mug. It had prayer on it. Whoops. So I opened my Facebook feed, and someone who is a friend of mine. And by friend, remember we're talking Facebook friend. So this is someone I've met twice. Who does chess tournaments. And he had this image of him holding a coffee mug. Pretend it's a real coffee mug, not some horrible drawing. But that picture's of a cartoon god-looking guy. And he says his caption says, reading the newspaper about the recent shooting at the school while drinking my coffee. And then he goes into a diatribe about why thoughts and prayers don't work and why he's tired of hearing politicians offer their thoughts and prayers when there's some tragedy. Instead of actually doing something, instead of enacting gun control in this case. And he goes on, someone argues with him, as inevitably that happens on posts like that. And he goes from not only does prayer not work, to not only does it not work, but prayer is actually dangerous. It actually causes harm for people to pray about events such as a shooting. And his reasoning is it causes harm because it makes you feel like you're doing something when you're really not. Because prayer doesn't work. And to be honest, well, I disagree with him on his gun ideas as well. Actually, I pretty much disagree with everything he posts. But I do agree with him that if we're only offering our thoughts and prayers and we aren't doing anything about a given topic, well, that's probably not going to be that effective. But that's not the fault of prayer. But I think when he's saying prayer doesn't work because look at what happened, even though people offer these prayers, I think he's kind of missing something. Well, I know he's missing something. One, his statement's wrong. We'll get to that later. But I think he's also missing the purpose of prayer. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes we may fall into the same rut or the same misunderstanding that he has, obviously not to the degree that he has this misunderstanding. But I think he misunderstands the purpose of prayer. Prayer isn't just us asking God for things. It isn't just us making a list. Here's the things I want you to give me, God. And when I don't get those things, prayer doesn't work. Prayer is more than that. If you would, look with me in Matthew chapter 6. And you might want to keep your finger here because we'll be coming back to this section of text. But Matthew chapter 6, here when Christ gives the model prayer, in verse 9, pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When we look at this prayer, this model prayer that Christ gives, notice how he starts the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And look how he concludes the prayer. Thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. So when he starts the prayer and when he ends the prayer, he's praising God. And when we pray, we need to be praising God in our prayers. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Chronicles. And here we'll look at a prayer of David. 1 Chronicles 29. Beginning in verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord, God of our Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord. And thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. What is David doing in that text? What is that prayer? Is that a prayer of give me this, give me that? Is that a list of things he's asking for? It's a prayer of praise, where he's thanking God, recognizing God's power, recognizing what comes through him. And we need to realize that prayer, part of prayer, is praising God. It's recognizing him for who he is. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, here when he's praying for the brethren, specifically, we won't read the whole section, but if you look at the prayer in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, he starts in 14, For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And then he prays and he concludes in verse 21, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So he's glorifying God in his prayer. He's giving God the glory. And he's thankful for what God has done, who God is. And we realize that when we pray, we need to be thankful. We recently studied in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, what does it tell us how to pray? Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we pray, we need to be expressing thanks to God, to recognizing his greatness, but also to thanking him for what he does for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see a similar thought there beginning in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 16, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we pray to God, we're thanking him. We need to have that attitude of thanksgiving, of appreciation for what he's done for us. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, we see, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is one of the ways that we can thank God for what he has done, for what he's given us, for the blessings that we have through him. We can look at examples of men who prayed and gave thanks to God. Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He gave thanks for the bread. In John chapter 6, in verse 11, before he's getting ready to feed the 5,000, what does Jesus do? He prays and he gives thanks. He gave thanks for the bread and the fish that wouldn't possibly feed this multitude. Well, it would because Jesus was there. But he gave thanks. In John chapter 11, if we look at that text, John 11, beginning in verse 41. Here Jesus is getting ready to heal Lazarus, to raise Lazarus. In John 11, verse 41, and so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. Here he thanks God. He knows God hears him, but he thanks him so that the people would understand that I'm from you. But he thanks God for listening to him. He thanks God for hearing him. When we look at what Daniel did in Daniel 6, what was part of Daniel's prayer? He gave thanks to God. So when we pray, it's not just listing things. Lord, I want this, I want this, give me this. But it's an opportunity for us to praise God, to thank Him for what He's given us. And the gentleman that said prayer doesn't work, he's not thinking about that aspect of prayer at all. He's thinking about the gimme, gimme, gimme. And I think sometimes we think about that too. But we need to realize prayer is more than that. And we need to praise God and thank Him when we pray. We also need to be confessing our sin. Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. There in the model prayer, Christ said, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he makes a comment in verses 14 and 15 about what that means. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. When we pray, we have the opportunity to ask God for His mercy, for His forgiveness. This morning, we were looking at 1 John, and we discussed in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, how, first we talked about how God is light, and there's no darkness in Him. And then we talked about if we confess our sins, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. In prayer, we have the opportunity to confess our sins to God. We have an opportunity to ask for His forgiveness. That accomplishes a lot. What did Jesus have to say about praying for forgiveness? Did Jesus ever pray for forgiveness? Yes. Not His own. Remember when He's on the cross, what did He say? Forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in prayer, Christ prayed for forgiveness of others. And He also gave an example of someone who He commends who prays for forgiveness. In Luke 18, and here I know He's talking primarily about the attitude that these two men, but in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Here we have someone who Christ is commending his prayer, mainly his attitude in his prayer. But in his prayer, what's he pleading for? What's he asking for? Mercy. Forgiveness. Prayer gives us the opportunity to ask God, forgive me. We need to pray like David did. If you want to talk about a prayer asking for thanksgiving, look at David and how David prayed. Look with me in the 51st Psalm. Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly for my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee alone I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. By thy favor do good unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on thine altar. Here we have a prayer of David. And what does the prayer consist of? A prayer of confession. Be gracious to me, God. Blot out my iniquities. Don't count them against me. Forgive me. So you see, prayer is much more than just asking for things. Although this is asking for things. It's not asking for do this, do that. It's begging for forgiveness. And as Jesus pointed out, though, as an aside, if we're going to ask God for forgiveness, what are we required to do? To forgive others. And we see that if we look in Matthew chapter 18. There Christ speaks to that through a parable when Peter asks, how many times should I allow my brother to sin against me and forgive him? Up to seven, and we know what Christ's response was. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And then he tells the parable of the man who goes and asks for forgiveness of a debt. He's forgiven. And then he goes out and he finds someone who owes him a paltry sum, and he doesn't forgive. And we see he's not. What we see the master's reaction to that. And we need to realize that when we are praying for God and we are asking for his forgiveness, we need to make sure that we are forgiving others. Because we owe a great debt far beyond what we could ever pay to God. And yet he forgives us when we ask him through prayer. And whatever I've done to you or whatever you've done to me pales in comparison. So we need to be a forgiving people if we expect to be forgiven. So when we look at prayer, we see it's a way that we can praise God. It's a way that we can thank God. It's a way that we can ask God for forgiveness so that we can be closer to him. And I think my friend doesn't understand that aspect of prayer at all. To him, prayer is, do this for me. And it's a series of requests. Now, do we request things when we pray? We definitely do. It is a way for us to petition God, to make our petitions known. The verse we read in Philippians. Instead of being anxious, pray and let your requests be made known unto God. So we're instructed to let our requests be made known unto God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. We see the same thing mentioned there where we are to petition God. 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So there we're told to petition God on the behalf of other men, on behalf of kings and authority. So we're told to offer petitions, but no, with thanksgiving. Again, when we look at Jesus' prayer in Luke 22, not his the sample prayer, but his prayer in Luke 22, verse 41. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. So when Christ is praying here, what is he praying for in this instance? He's praying for physical deliverance from what's about to happen to him. He is making a petition to God. He's begging God to do this for me. But note, and we'll get to this, but thy will. Right? He's begging, but based on, he wants God's will to be done. Go back again, if you would, to the model prayer. There we see Jesus also instructing them to ask for things. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's okay to ask God for physical things. It's okay to ask him to give us our daily bread. It's okay to ask him for spiritual things. Lead me not into temptation. And we should do that. But prayer is more than that. We need to realize that. So this gentleman would claim prayer doesn't work because God doesn't answer prayer. He would actually go further and say there is no God based on other things I've seen. But why doesn't God always answer our prayers? If I can petition God, why don't I always get the answer that I want? Well, the key is going to be that I want. Because God does always answer prayer. We're told that God hears us. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, you not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Ask, and God will give. He does answer prayer. He does listen. Prayer does work. In John chapter 16, he tells his disciples, and in that day you will ask me, verse 23, and in that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Ask in his name, and the Father will give, is what he's telling them. I didn't look ahead at what the scripture reading was tonight. So we've already read James chapter 5. But look with me in James chapter 5. We won't read the whole chapter, but we'll look in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. What does James say about prayer? He says it can accomplish much. So when he says it can accomplish much, and someone off the internet says it doesn't work, who's right? Prayer can accomplish much. Prayer does work. So then why doesn't it always work the way I want it to? When I ask for something or maybe someone to be healed, or maybe I ask for something, why do I not always get it? Or why does the things I don't want to happen happen? Why is that? Part of the problem could be with me and what I'm asking for. We know the wicked, God doesn't hear their prayer. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Isaiah 59 talks about their iniquities preventing God from hearing them. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. If we are wicked people, and we are not striving to follow God, why would we expect God to hear our prayer and to answer our prayers? We have something kind of similar. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 6, before he gives them the model prayer, he's talking about men who were practiced their righteousness to be seen. He talks about giving of their men who would give their alms. They would sound a trumpet. But if we're looking down in verse 5, and when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. If you're praying to be seen of men, I think you've got the answer to your prayer. You've got the reward from that prayer. You were seen of men. I don't think God really is listening to that prayer, because it's not a sincere prayer. It's for the wrong motive. It's to build yourself up. If we expect God to answer our prayer, we have to pray believing He's going to answer our prayer. Turn back to James. In chapter 1, but if any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, when you pray to God, do you believe that He's going to answer your prayer? We need to ask in faith, not doubting. Because if we doubt, we can't expect to receive anything from God. We may not think God's answering our prayer because maybe we're asking for things that aren't His will. 1 John 5, verse 14, which we'll get to in our study of 1 John, talks about if you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Couple pages over in James, in chapter 4, he tells them why they don't necessarily receive. Chapter 4, verse 1, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. God may not be answering my prayer because I'm asking for the wrong thing for the wrong reason. I'm asking not, Lord, give me this so that I can glorify You. I'm asking, Lord, give me this so I can enjoy it myself. And there's a difference. There's a huge difference when we're asking for things that are wrong, or things that we're looking to just enjoy ourselves selfishly. We need to be asking for things that are God's will. The verse we read about Jesus, let this cup pass from me, if it's your will. Not my will, but your will. He emphasizes it, says it twice. Your will, not mine. We need to have that same attitude when we're praying. That God, while I'm asking for these things, I want your will, not mine. Because God knows what we need better than we do. And we need to have faith in that. When we're asking God and maybe we don't get the answer we want, maybe it's because we just need to be more persistent in our prayer. And there's a couple of parables in Luke that speak to this. If you look in Luke chapter 11, here and some instruction about prayer right after he gives the model prayer in verses 1 through 4. In verse 5, and he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not let him, will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If I show up at Kurt's house at midnight and say, Kurt, I need some bread. Maybe I'm talking money. I don't know. Kurt, I need something. It's midnight. Go home. And I knock again. Do you not know what time it is? And I knock again. Here, whatever you want, just leave me alone. Now, that's probably a bad example because Kurt's going to answer the first time. Right? Yeah. But persistence pays off. We realize that among each other. Another parable, which we won't read, in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, you have the the lady who goes, the widow who goes before the judge, and he's an unjust judge. He doesn't care. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about this woman, but she keeps going to him and going to him and going to him, so he relents. And that is, if you read verse 1, it's talking about prayer. Now, he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. We can look at examples. Jesus, when he went with his disciples to pray in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44, he prayed the same prayer 3 times. Paul requested that the thorn of the flesh be removed 3 times. They were persistent. But in both those cases, what did they also do? They had that, your will, not mine. And they were content with God's answer. But we need to be persistent in our prayer, but accepting of the answer. So going back to the mug, this guy's coffee mug, I would be fine if he, I would be fine if he just got rid of a couple of letters. I'd be fine with that. I would also erase the goofy logo of God, but prayer does work. And we need to realize that it works. And as a result of prayer working, what should we do? If we know it works, how should we react? I'm sorry, just as an interlude, Pam asked how long my lesson was. I said 30 minutes. She said, no, it won't be. I've got another page, and I had 3 pages of notes, so I won't keep you here. But how should we react to prayer? How should we react knowing that prayer is answered? It needs to be a regular part of our lives. Look at some of the men of old. Look at David. Every morning, evening, noon, he prayed. And he tells us that in the Psalm 55. Look at Daniel. He knelt on his knees 3 times a day. How often do you pray? Maybe we pray 3 times a day when we eat. But we need a more than a thank you for this food prayer life. If that's all the only time you pray and you're just thanking God for the food, you're missing out. We need to be praying without ceasing, always praying, we can pray at any time. Look at Paul and Silas. When they were jailed, they prayed at midnight. Christ stayed up all night praying. We need to be praying without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we're walking around like this, but it means we're praying constantly. Bob Buchanan, I think, used to call them bullet prayers or arrow prayers. I forget. But we should have little prayers going to God constantly throughout the day. When we're tempted, Lord, help me with this temptation. When something positive happens, Lord, thank you. It needs to be an attitude, a way of life for us. But we need to set aside time to pray. I hope you do. We need to be a praying people because prayer does work. Prayer